Hebrews 13:5. King James is good, but I'm going to go right to Amplified. Let your care. This is the Amplified, Hebrews 13:5. Let your character or moral disposition be free from love of money. So he's here talking about financial things, including greed, avarice, lust, craving for earthly possessions. And be satisfied with your present circumstances and what you have, for he, God, himself. He, God, himself. This is the Amplified. Said. This is not Pastor Jay. This is God himself. He, God, himself has said, I will not in any way fail you. I got so happy about that in my truck going to the bank the other day. I thought I was going to have to pull off the side of the road. If the only place you get happy about the Bible is in church, you're missing three-fourths of your life. I will not in any way fail you. That means if I trust him, he will not fail. Well, you know, I trusted God and God didn't come through. Oh, dear friend, dear friend, dear friend. It wasn't on God's side, I'll tell you that. God said, I will not in any way, I mean not one way, not one little bit, fail you, nor give you up. In other words, give you up to that test or trial you're going through, give you up to that problem, give you up to that mean mother-in-law, whatever. Whatever it is. I'll not give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not. I will not. Just in case we didn't get it, he said it again. I will not. In any degree. I mean just a little bit. He will not a little bit. Leave us helpless. I mean, we got a great big helper on the inside of us, don't we? I'll not leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down. Relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. Whoo, glory be to God. Whoo, glory be to God. Hallelujah. I mean, you can just trust him. Can't you trust him? I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree leave you helpless. My, my, my. I don't know how to express what's going on the inside of me right now. Outside I'm standing up, but on the inside I'm doing flips and jumping jacks and all kinds of stuff. Hallelujah! Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I mean, that's a good God right there. I will not leave you helpless in any degree, forsake you, let you down. Boy, I'll tell you, there's times people thought God let them down when he didn't. He didn't. Might look like it, but that just means our looker's wrong. You know, my mom gave me, my dad had real high quality binoculars. And you can buy binoculars, but Swarovskis, you ever heard of, is that how you pronounce it? I mean, some of the best. I think it's probably the best in the world. I mean, you don't just go down to the Walmart and buy these things, you know. But anyway, I looked through them and you know, just seeing how good a quality. And it's just almost better than looking with your naked eye. I mean, it just gathers in the amount of light you need, and it's amazing. Except I looked through them, and they were out of focus, you know. And I thought, well, something's wrong with these things. And then I realized there's a little adjustment up there. One eye, in case one eye is not the same as the other, you adjust that one side to make it. And so I got it all adjusted up. Sure enough, just perfect. I mean, you can see a bluebird 100 yards away, and he looks like he's sitting on your back porch, you know. Just crystal clear. Yeah, yeah. Hallelujah. Well, see, if it's not looking right, it's not me. It's not God. Yeah, it's right. Our looker. Something's wrong with our looker. Amen. This looked like God didn't come through. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. I guarantee you, no man will ever stand before God at the judgment seat whenever they get there and say, and point their finger in God's face, said, "You were unfaithful. You didn't come through. You didn't do what you said you would do." No man. No man. No man. It might seem like that, but he will not. Hallelujah. Well, I just wanted to go there. Maybe somebody needs that one. I believe somebody needed that one. Tell your neighbor, he will not. In fact, he will not. Amen. And then another fact, he will not, he will not, he will not. That means everything is sure. That means everything is certain. If I'm basing my believing on his word, it's certain. Certain. Ha, ha, ha. Say ha, ha, ha to the devil. Go to Psalm 145. We'll just get into what we've been sharing on compassion. I don't believe we've got it like he wants us to get it yet. Psalm 145, and we're going to read verses 8 and 9. If you were here last Sunday, we started this. We've done this in years, well, I don't know if years, months, whatever, years gone by, shared on compassion. But I don't know. I'm just back on it again. He's been helping me and blessing me about this truth. And so let's get back into it. Psalm 145, verse 8 and 9. The Lord is gracious. Say that out loud. That's my God. That's Him. He's gracious. He's gracious. That means disposed to show favors. And full of compassion. Not partly full, but full. You get a glass of water full, you can't get anything else in it. That's all it is. If you got water, that's all it's in. It's water. Can't get anything else in there. Full of compassion, slow to anger. Tell your neighbor, I'm so thankful because that's why I'm alive. Amen. Slow to anger and of great mercy. Great mercy. Hallelujah. The Lord is good to all. That would include people that aren't even good to Him. Yeah. That don't even love Him. Yeah. Remember Jesus said He sends His rain on the just and on the unjust. I mean, you got farmers and people out here that are experiencing good things. That curse God and, you know, mad at God. Accuse Him of all kinds of things. Yet He's giving them a crop every year. Yes, He's taking care of them, taking care of their family. He's good to all, and His tender mercies, mercies plural, tell your neighbor plural means there's more than one, are over all His works. Well, all His works would be all creation, wouldn't it? All creation. He created the whole earth. He created man. He created the animals. He created everything. His tender mercies are over all His works. But think about this in two other ways. His tender mercies are over all His works. Ephesians 2:10, we are His workmanship. Yes. We are His workmanship. I mean, if His tender mercies are all over all His creation works, then they're over us double. Because we're His works twice.
Hallelujah.
Amen. We're His works twice. We were created, you know, Adam and Eve created, and then we came out of Adam and Eve. We were all created of God. And then second of all, we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus, born anew, the Amplified says. We're talking about the new birth. That new birth, that new nature, that new creation is His work. We're His workmanship. The Old Testament said it's He that has made us and not we ourselves. So we are His workmanship. But let's look at it even another way. His tender mercies are over all His works. Everything, all of His works are out of His mercy. If He heals, that's His mercy. Amen. If He encourages, that's His mercy. If He strengthens us, that's His mercy. If He forgives, that's His mercy. If He gives us a word of knowledge to warn us about the future, or a word of wisdom to warn us about the future, that's His mercy. That's His works. How many of you know Jesus went about doing good and healing, and the Bible said, the works that I do, you'll do also. So the healings and all the miracles and everything He did, that was His works. Because He said, those works you'll do also. Works. Works. So those works are all in mercy. His tender mercies are over all His work. In other words, all His works come out of His mercy. Hallelujah. So you can look at that in many different ways. So we're studying the compassion of God, and the word compassion and mercy, you can see both of those words here in this verse, used interchangeably. Compassion and mercy are both used. They're both the same Hebrew word as well as both the same Greek word. They're all the same word. It's compassion is mercy, and mercy is compassion. That's true in the that's true of the noun, the adjective, and all the verbs and everything. So the word mercy or compassion in the New Testament, as well as the Old Testament, means to love tenderly, to show mercy, to be full of eager yearning. That's what stood out to me, and I'm going to share on with you this morning, is that full of eager yearning. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Say out loud, full of eager yearning. Hallelujah. And so we're going to just sound the note of His mercy and compassion again this morning, because this builds faith more than just about anything you can share with people. How many of you know we're talking a lot about healing? We've had a lot of us come under attack in our bodies. So why don't we just plant the healing seed, plant the healing word. Notice His mercies, plural, over all His works. Well, you could say, what are His mercies, plural? Well, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all His benefits. How many of you would think it'd be all right to say His benefits are His mercies? Yeah. Number one, forgives all thine iniquities. Number two, heals all your diseases. Not just a few of them, heals them all. Heals them all. Those are a couple of His works. Amen. Because Paul said that God is the Father of mercies, plural. That means there's more than one mercy, more than just forgiveness. God's a God of mercy. And we looked through the Gospels where, four or five times, whatever it was, there was different verses where Jesus was moved with compassion and healed their sick. Isn't that right? And then the Bible said that the leper came in Matthew 8 and said, verses 2 and 3, we're going to look at it in a minute. But he said, if you will, you can make me clean. Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched forth his hand and healed him and ministered to him. And he said, I will, be thou clean. How many of you know it was his compassion that moved him to heal that man? Not him trying to prove that he was deity. Amen. Now, the modern church says that's why all the miracles were manifested, to prove he was deity. Well, wasn't he deity before the age of 30? Sure, but he didn't do any miracles until the age of 30, because that's when the Holy Ghost came upon him. He didn't do them as God in the flesh. He was God in the flesh, but he didn't do the miracles as God in the flesh. He did it like we do them, because he said, the works I do, you'll do also. He did them as a man anointed by the Holy Ghost. Otherwise, how could we expect to do the same works he did? He didn't do them as deity. Now, every time I need to say he was deity, because people misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying he wasn't deity. I'm saying that's not why he was doing what he was doing. Never once do we see him healing somebody and saying, I'm doing this to prove that I'm deity. In fact, to be honest with you, Jesus didn't talk too much about his deity. Because I'll tell you why he didn't want to talk too much about it. Because he wanted to live another day. Because the Pharisees, they were spitting mad whenever he said he was God. Yeah. Amen. Amen. But some of them might say, yeah, but that one verse, you remember the man let down through the roof, you remember? Jesus saw their faith and said to the man, thy sins be forgiven thee. And they said, the Pharisees, because Jesus knew it, they didn't say it out loud, but he knew it in his heart. The Pharisees says, well, who can forgive sins? Who does he think he is? Who can forgive sins but God alone? And Jesus said, he knowing their thoughts, remember that? Yeah. He said, why reason ye these things in your heart, saying whether can this, that I can forgive sins? He said, but that you might know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He said to the man, rise, take up your bed and walk. Right. Someone said, yeah, but see right there, he proved that he was the Son of God, because he said that you might know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Listen to what he said. Listen to what he said. That you might know that the Son of God, man. Look it up. That's what he said. He didn't say, I'm doing this to prove I'm the Son of God. He said, that you might know the Son of Man. The Son of God is referring to his deity. Son of Man is referring to his humanity. That you might know that the Son of Man. So why did he do what he did? We've been reading it. He did it because he loved people. You know why he forgives people? Because he loves them and wants them to have a relationship with him. You know why he heals? Because it's love that heals. Someone said God heals. That's right. But God is love. And love heals. Say that out loud. Love heals. You know as well as I do, a loved one gets sick in the hospital. You'd do anything you could to see that they be well. Why? Because you love them. Because you love them. Amen. And love heals. Jesus went about doing good and healing. Or you could say God went about doing good. Or you could say love went about doing good, healing. You know why he heals? Because he loves. Praise God. And we've got to sound this note about the Lord's love and compassion on sick and hurting humanity. Because this has to do with his nature. This has to do with his willingness. When you know his love, you know his willingness. Yeah. That man said to Jesus there in Matthew 8, if you will, you can make me clean. Jesus was moved with compassion or moved with, notice the word compassion means to love tenderly. In other words, he loved him tenderly. Isn't that right? And another definition of compassion, to be full of eager yearning. In other words, moved because he was filled with eager yearning. Isn't that right? What does it mean when it says, or when Jesus said there, I will? He's saying, I am full of eager yearning. In fact, let's read some of these other translations about that in Matthew chapter 8. Some of these other translations bring that out. It says in the Jerusalem Bible, a leper came up and bowed low in front of him. Sir, he said, if you want to, you can cure me. This is in Matthew 8, 2 and 3 in the Jerusalem Bible. If you want to, you can cure me. Amen. Jesus stretched out his hand, touched him and said, of course I want to. Be cured. And his leprosy was cured at once. Any man that says it's not God's will to heal is really saying he doesn't love people. He was moved. Isn't that right? He was moved and touched him. Now look at the Wade translation. He said, if you have the will, the man said, you have the power to cleanse me. Jesus said, I have the will. Be cleansed. Amen. Amen. Jordan says, sir, if you really wanted to, you could heal me. Jesus said, I do want to be healed. I do want to. Now notice we've got different ways these translations say it. He stretched out his hand and said to him, of course I want to. The Wade translates, I have the will. Jordan says, I do want to. Basic says, Lord, if it is your pleasure, you have the power to make me clean. He put forth his hand on him saying, it is my pleasure. It is my pleasure. Be clean. Knox says, it is my will. Fenton translation, I am willing. Wu says, I am desiring it from all my heart. Be cleansed at once. Hallelujah. Amen. That's the will of God. The will of God is not a tame thing. The will of God is an eager yearning. Because compassion eagerly yearns for someone to you know, not be in the situation or the predicament area. Compassion, it eagerly yearns. Now, we need to look at this because, to be honest with you, this is something that most people don't really come to God with this knowledge in their heart and in their mind. They kind of come with the idea they got to talk God into the notion of doing something. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But the will of God begins not where the power of God or the ability of God is known. It begins where the will of God is known, where his eager yearning is known. Brother Hagin said he used to, when he ministered to the sick, he used to always tell them, especially he said chronic seekers. You know what I mean by a chronic seeker? Meaning somebody that's just been seeking healing for a long, long time. Or been seeking whatever, baptism of the Holy Ghost or some blessing for a long, long time. He said, especially chronic seekers, he said, these people get in a rut. I don't know if you know what it means, a rut. They get in a rut, so to speak. And you, if you're going to, they've been praying for something or, you know, believing for something for years or something like that. And they get in a healing line. Oh, God. And they're in a rut of the way they approach God. They're in a rut of begging. So Brother Hagin said he would always stop those people and he'd look at them and he'd say, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. And he'd say, I did this to shock them, to get them out of their rut. Yeah. 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 You know, you can get in a spiritual rut just like you can get in a, if you're driving down a dirt road and get in a truck rut or, it's hard to get out of a rut. Yeah. Yeah. You got to crank it hard to get out of a rut. Amen. So Brother Hagin said, I used to just say this to him. I'd stop him. I'd say, wait a minute. Because he'd go to lay hands on him. They'd been seeking healing or something for years. He said, I'd go lay hands on him. And they'd get into that rut. Oh, God. And they'd go down that rut. And Brother Hagin said, I'd stop him and say, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. Listen to me. He said, he'd tell him, do you know God wants to heal you more than you want to be healed? Because see, they're in the rut. Of, oh, God, I got to talk God into this. Oh, God, you haven't done it yet. Oh, God. Yeah. And Brother Hagin said, do you know God wants you to be healed more than you want to be healed? He said they would look at him with a startled, he said most of the time their mouth would go open, huh? Startled look. He said that they'd look at him with a look of disbelief. They couldn't hardly believe it. And he said you could read their face and tell what they're thinking. They look at you like you're strange or something. Because they've been trying to talk God into doing this for years. And he hasn't doing it, so they're just keep on, keep on. I'm talking about in their mind. He hasn't done it. So, oh, God. So he'd say, God wants you healed more than you want to receive healing. They'd look at him in disbelief. And he said, you could read their face and know what they're thinking. He said, you'd see it on their face. They'd think in their mind, well, then, why hasn't he done it? All these years, how's come he hasn't done it? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody? You don't have to raise your hand, but can anybody identify? But if this is true, if he's full of compassion, which means eager yearning, and compassion includes healing the sick, which we see in the book of, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, over and over again, he's moved with compassion. It's his compassion that healed the sick. Not because he's proven he's deity. I mean, if you are deity, you don't have to prove it. It's like a man walking around saying, I am a man, I am a man, trying to tell everybody there. Well, if you are, just shut up and prove it. I was trying to watch something on YouTube the other day. Some guy trying to explain something. He was a sissy. Oh, no. He needs an injection of a whole bunch of testosterone. Oh, yeah. I'm like, I need you to be a man right now. You know what I'm talking about. Be a man.
Yes.
Be a man. If you're a man, be a man. If you're a woman, be a woman. Amen. Anyway, how'd I get off on that? That's just hard to watch. I don't know about you. It's just hard to watch. I mean, I can barely hear what they're saying because of the sissified-ness, you know. Anyway, how do I get off on that? Get back to preaching the word. Amen. Go work out or something. Do something. I mean, but here, compassion means to have be full of eager yearning. So he's moved with compassion to heal the sick. Now, to be full of eager yearning means he longed, if that's what it means, then that means he longs for people to be healed. I don't know if most people believe that. Are you with me? He longs for them to be healed more than they long to receive it. Do you know that God longs for every sinner on the planet to be saved more than they long to be saved? Think about it. I mean, you can get to the place where you long to be saved real bad. and you come to get it, you know. But God's been longing for that for a long time, and His longing is much greater. I've had times where I have discovered this, not just from the Word, but times of prayer for people. You remember the Bible said in Romans 8, verse number 26 and 27, the Spirit helps our infirmities, for we don't know what to pray for as we ought. But He makes intercession for us with groanings. King James says groanings, which cannot be uttered. The Amplified says longings, too deep for utterance. Do you know where that originates, those longings in prayer that are too deep for utterance? You can pray. You can be praying for somebody and get so under the compassion of God for them to have something, and the longing of God for them to have something, that you ache on the inside, that you almost hurt. I'm not talking about physically. I mean in your spirit. Your spirit just almost aches. Do you know where that comes from? That comes from God. That's not human. That's beyond human. You can't love another person, another human being that much. Amen. But I've been there before where I weep and cry. And I'm not talking about making it up because this is what we're supposed to do in prayer. I'm talking about it just comes up out of your spirit. The longing and the desire. See, this is intercession. This is supplication. Hallelujah. And I'll be honest with you. That's why sometimes we don't see more than we see. It's because we don't yield to this. God longs for it to happen. If he wants it to happen, it'll just happen. No, that's not true. That's not true. Man has to open the door for that to happen. And sometimes man has closed the door. And God longs for them to open that door. But see, you tell people God wants you healed more than you want to receive it, or more than you want to be healed. Now listen, people that are sick, they can get to the place they long big time to be healed. But see, God's longing is even greater than that. Brother Hagin said he got to Mark 11, 23 and 24, and he read, whatever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive. He said, well, the greatest desire of my heart is to be well, to have a well body. Biggest desire. See, you lay there on whatever, years or months on a bed, can't move, can't whatever. You can get a real desire, a real longing to be up. You see other people out and about and not hindered and in bed. And you can get a real longing. But see, God's longing is much greater than that. God's longing. You know why? Because He is love. And love cannot go untouched with the feeling of people's infirmities. Amen. Amen. You know, there's a lot of times I don't have the Lord necessarily speak to me to give things to somebody. I just love them and don't want to see them go through what they're going through here at the church. Amen. You know, or us personally. You can't meet every financial need everybody has. But yet, right on the other hand, just sometimes just the compassion of God. No, God didn't speak to you. How many remember 1 John says, if you see your brother have need and shut up your bowels of compassion toward him, how dwelleth the love of God in you? Well, it's in there, but not yielding to it. Come on. Well, God didn't speak to me. Well, love will compel you to do some things. Amen. Just love. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, but see, that time, those times of prayer sometimes, you ache, you weep, you cry, and you know it's not you. Amen. Are you out there? You're going home. But that's God's eager yearning. That's His longing towards that person. That they be free. Maybe it's because they don't know what He has provided for them. And He longs for them to know. Whatever the case. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 You got to make it possible for God to do what He longs to do. You understand what I'm talking about? You know, people, they say, if God wants to do something, then He'll just do it. They magnify the sovereignty of God. You know what I'm talking about? They say that God is sovereign. God is great. He can do anything He wants to do. If He wants to do it, He'll just do it. Sure enough, it'll just happen. It's just, if it's His will, He'll just do it. There's a million things that are His will that He's not able to do. No, I don't believe that. But see, people say, God will do it if it's His will. It'll just happen. He'll just do it. He's God. He can do anything. It sounds religious. It sounds spiritual. But when you actually open up the Bible, it just doesn't look true. It doesn't pan out. Go to the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse number 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in to him and sup with him, and he with me. That doesn't sound like if it's his will, he'll just do it. I mean, if he's standing there knocking, doesn't that mean he wants in? If he wants in, doesn't that mean it's his will that he go in there? I'm not making anything up. That's absolutely the truth. Somebody's at your front door knocking. They want in. They want you to open the door. Isn't that right? Well, if he wants in, notice he didn't say, behold, I stand and I knock the door down. He doesn't just knock the door down and come in if that's what he wants. Well, why doesn't he? If that's what he wants, why didn't he just knock the door down? Because, listen to me, I'm going to make a statement that we need to understand. Y'all hear? This verse is telling us he's not an intruder. That he's not an outlaw. That he doesn't move where he's not invited. Where he's not welcomed. Where he's not wanted. Listen, if you or I don't want him in our life, he won't move into our life. Or let's put it this way. He won't move where the door's not open to him. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. That door's closed. He wants to go in. He wants to be invited in. But he's not an intruder. And I'll go one step further. People say, well, God's sovereign, he'll just do whatever. This verse speaks not about the sovereignty of God, but this verse speaks of the sovereignty of man. I'm talking about in his own life. I don't mean sovereign over everything. No man's sovereign over everything. But I'm talking about in his own life. Man is sovereign in his own life. He's the highest authority in his own life. In other words, whether God comes in or whether the devil comes in is up to that man. It's not up to God. It's not up to the devil. We got to think about these things. The vast majority of the body of Christ doesn't understand this. Amen. So really, I mean, do you understand that statement I made? This verse is not talking about the sovereignty of God. It's talking about the sovereignty of man. In other words, man in his own life has to make it possible for God to do what he in his word longs to do. We see that he longs to. Isn't that right? I said, are you understand what I'm talking about? You see, longing and benevolence, or I should say compassion, means God has a benevolent nature. That he has a giving nature. That he is love and he longs to do good things for his people. He longs. I remember Brother Hagin said one time he was praying for Miss Aretha. I'd have to go back and listen to the story. If I remember right, it was when she had that goiter on her neck. And it kept getting bigger and bigger. And Brother Hagin and Miss Aretha never talked about it, but they kept knowing separately, knew that if she went and had it operated on, this is years ago, back there, maybe I think still years they were pastoring. But if she had it operated on, they just knew. How many of you know inside sometimes something? They just knew if she went and had it operated on, she would die on the operating table. Brother Hagin said he knew that in his heart. She, after talking later to her, he found out she knew it. That's why she never brought up going and having an operation. Because, you know, nobody wants to die on the operating table. So he didn't talk to her for a while, but later found out she knew the same thing he knew in his spirit. The Lord will let you know whether to go have an operation or not. He'll let you know if it's going to be fine, or if it's going to work out, if it's not going to work out. Amen. And sometimes it's anyway, I won't get into all that. But you just have to know on the inside. You can have tremendous peace about going to a doctor and having something cut out, or you can have a warning about going and having something cut out. There's a verse in the Old Testament that a king The Bible said the king died because he sought not to the Lord but to the physicians. And people read that and they say, see, if you don't put your faith in God and you go to the doctor, then you're going to die. That's not what that verse said. It wasn't that he went to the doctor, it's that he didn't seek God about it. You can seek God and he'll say, go to the doctor. Amen. I don't know how I got on that, but it helps us. It wasn't that he sought the doctor. I mean, if God was against doctors, why on earth did Jesus have a medical doctor on his crusade team? Named Luke. He wasn't opposed to doctors. There are just a lot of situations they can't help people, but they love people, you know, and do what they can. So anyway, but no, it's not about going to the doctor. If you seek God, then he'll tell you what to do. But anyway, so we're getting back here to this benevolent nature of God. This compassionate nature of God longs to do things for people. And he wants them to be well. He wants every one of his children to be well. He made full provision for it because he is a loved God. Amen. But on the other hand, we see verses like this. I stand at the door and knock. There's things that we have to open the door to him in. We have to make it possible for him to do what he longs to do. Or let's put it another way. We have to position ourselves to receive it. Amen. Or let's put it another way. We have to give him permission to do it. Amen. We have to remove the obstacles to his blessings. Amen. Just all these things are just saying we have to open the door. He stands at the door and knocks. His knock is his yearning. He wants to be invited in. Amen. Remember we read in the Old Testament that the eyes of the Lord, you know, last Sunday, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro through the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf whose heart is perfect toward him. Now don't get off on perfect and think you got to be perfect in the flesh. He's not talking about being perfect in the flesh. If you look it up, it literally means wholehearted. Wholehearted. You're all out for God. So he's looking, he's hunting for opportunities to gratify his benevolent nature. Hallelujah. To pour his blessings on his creation whenever they make it possible for him to do so. Well, praise God, Pastor, I'm certainly making it possible for him to do so. Well, it's one thing to say, it's another thing to do it. Somebody say, how do we make it possible for him to do so? Well, just think about Cornelius. We've shared that last Sunday. Think about Cornelius. God wanted Cornelius and his household to be saved. God wanted Cornelius and his household to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. And he sent an angel to him and said, go to Joppa and find one in a certain house named Peter. He'll tell you words whereby you can be saved. He sent the men down there. And you remember, he's ready for Peter when he got back. And when Peter got there, he said, told him the story. An angel appeared, you know, 3 days ago or whatever, and told me to send for you that you'd have words for. So I've gathered my family here. And he said, we are all here present before God. Let's go over there. Let's go over there. Acts 10, 10th chapter. We're all here present before God. I love this passage. 10th chapter, look at verse number 33. Immediately, therefore, I sent to thee that thou hast well done, that thou art come. Now, therefore, we are all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. In other words, here we are to hear. To hear what God's given you to say. We know what God gave him to say. The gospel gave him the message of the gospel to preach to him. And then Peter opened his mouth, and you know the story. He began to preach, told him about Jesus and so forth. Now, go to verse 44. While Peter yet spake these words, he's not even done preaching. In other words, it didn't say when Peter finished his sermon. It said while Peter yet was in the middle of preaching his sermon. While he spoke these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them that heard the word. You need to draw a line from those words right there out to the margin and said, that's God's eager yearning. He couldn't even wait till Peter's sermon's done. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. He's full of eager yearning. Why? His compassion on unsaved people. His compassion on people that aren't filled, don't know Him, don't filled with the Holy Ghost. That's His eager yearning. Glory be to God. I said, glory be to God. Glory be to God. I said, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Now somebody said, if God wanted to do that, how? What? See, He's standing at Cornelius' door and knocking. Isn't that right? Well, He wants in. He wants into Cornelius' life. He wants into all the Gentiles' life. He's getting into the Gentile world. Isn't that right? He's standing there knocking. Well, how on earth did Cornelius position himself? How did he open that door? He told us in that verse. You go back there, verse 33. We are all here present before God to hear. To hear what God has to say to us. Whew, praise God. That reminds me of two different verses in Luke 5:15, Luke 6:17. To Luke 5:15, Luke 6:17. Both of them said the people came in Jesus' day to hear Him and to be healed of their diseases. Praise God. To hear and to be healed. That's not just a hearing with the, not just a bounce off the eardrums kind of hear. Remember one time Jesus said, let these sayings sink down into your ears. Sink down in. Where's it got to sink into? Huh?
Come on.
It's like your children. They hear you, but they don't hear you.
Exactly. Yeah.
They don't.
Yeah. Come on.
Amen. It hadn't sunk in. Why are you looking at him? I'm just... Amen. That's what I've been doing for the last couple of weeks. Just hearing again.
Yeah. Yeah.
But what he's got me hearing is his compassion.
Because
I'll guarantee you, although you've heard this, it's still there, it can still sink in further.
Yeah.
The Lord is good.
All the time.
Hallelujah. His mercy endures forever.
Because
you can go through life. See, somebody, here's kind of what happens as we grow spiritually. Can I just tell you how this kind of happens? We first get born again, you know, we we're brand new, we're clean, we're washed, we don't have any past, it's all gone, and woo, I mean, it's as if sin never existed, and woo, all the blessings of God are mine, and I don't have to earn any of it, and all that I did is under the blood, and woo, glory to God, I'm worthy through His blood, and He's made me able to be a partaker of the divine nature. We hear all these things, woo, the righteousness of God in Christ makes as if sin never existed.
Right. Right.
And we hear all that and we just belly up to the table and take it and believe it.
Yeah,
we receive it.
Yeah.
But we go through life a while. God deals with us about this. God deals with us about that. God deals with us about this. We learn this. We learn that. We start seeing this in the Word we didn't understand. We start seeing this. And now we're responsible for all that. And we become conscious. Rather than of His blood, we become conscious now of the times we should have, and would have, and didn't. So we're living more in a guilt complex. I mean, we're walking in all the light we have, but yet we know we could do better. And the devil pounds us with that. And before we know it, we're not. Filled with the knowledge, our hearts and minds, when we go to God to receive from God, we go with our hearts and minds filled with the awareness of all our failures rather than the awareness of His mercies. Now you're looking at me like it's not you, but I know what you see. You're like me. And you just got to go sometimes and throw yourself back over on the mercies of God. And say, the Lord is good.
Amen.
Do you know, mercy isn't for people that have never missed it. It's for people that have missed it. Can you, Let me ask you a question. You see multitudes of people healed. Like there in Matthew 14, we read it last Sunday. Moved, he saw the multitude, moved with compassion, and healed their sick. You know, in a multitude of people, one of them, or two of them, or more, had sin in their life. Oh, yeah. Yeah, probably just Saturday night. You ever thunk about that? My dad used to say, thunk about it. You ever thunk about that? You know, it's not possible to have a crowd of 10,000 people and somebody in there don't have sin in their life ongoingly. Thank you very much. And yet, Jesus had compassion on all of them and healed all of them. Would he do that for somebody like that and wouldn't do it for somebody that's endeavoring to walk in all the light they have? I don't think so. I don't think he would do it for them, won't do it for you. Yeah, but I made so many mistakes. Yeah, but that's what the blood is for. That's what mercy is for. It's for people that have made mistakes. That has to sink in. Besides, you know as well as I do, some of our failures are not in the eyes of God. They're just in our eyes by our own expectations on ourselves rather than on His expectations.
That's so good.
The truth. You know how I know that? I'm not preaching sin today. I'm not preaching, let's all go out and sin today. But see, that's not your heart anyhow, is it? No. So your heart's not that way. Your heart is perfect towards Him. Uh-oh. 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 And His mercy endures forever. Glory to God. But how do you position yourself to receive that? Well, like Cornelius, like Luke 5:15, Luke 6:17, they came to hear and to be healed. You know what they heard? They heard about the Spirit of the Lord's on me. He's anointed me. And they heard about this compassion probably because Jesus was constantly moved by it. So no doubt He said something about it. Amen. Hallelujah. You and I have got to just take a compassion bath. Just bathe in the knowledge. And in fact, that's what I've been doing for a couple of weeks. First thing I say, in fact, if I wake up in the middle of the night, first thing I say, Lord, You're good and Your mercies endure forever. Your mercies are everlasting. You delight in mercy. And I thank You, Father God, Your mercies are new every morning. And I just go on and on and on and on. And I've been going on and on. I don't know if it's bugging God or not, but I'm going on and on and on. On and on and on.
He likes it.
About His mercies.
That's right.
It doesn't bug Him. I'm just saying that because our human mind says, well, you're just going on and on about this. I'm not trying to talk Him into anything. I'm talking myself into something.
Yes, that's right.
I'm talking myself into believing it. Pastor Debbie and I have come into a lot of good blessings. I don't know what I don't know. Just over the last couple of days, I've been, I guess there's just so many things we've come, you know, faith projects we've come through and have received them. And it's just a little different season, you know. We're not reaching that. Well, I mean, we're getting ready to. Don't misunderstand me. But in our own personal life. But I'm talking about we're just not reaching that for other things. We just did a big reach, you know. So it's just a time of rest and just filling myself up. And you know, you become conscious at times like that of everything God's done for you and how good He's been. And I'll be honest with you, I still, like the house we live in, I still, for example, I think I got most of it inside of my spirit, but I think maybe one of the chimneys is still sticking out, or it's almost too good to be true. You know, I just... Lord, you're so good. And are you going to let us, this is kind of my thought sometimes, are you going to let us stay here? Or, I mean, are you going to say, okay, now move out somewhere else, you know, go to China and be a missionary and live in a mud hut? Which, listen, I'd be willing to do it. Come on now. Because, you know, I love him. And his will is my home. But anyhow, I mean, it's just one of those things like, are we going to get to stay here? Are you that good? I know you're good, but are you that good? Amen. And I've been in kind of that phase of just sort of reminiscing, looking through old pictures, you know, just seeing all the good things God's done and all of that. And you can kind of get at times like that, you can kind of go, God has been so good. Even if we just stopped right here and camped here the rest of our lives, we've had a good life. You know, in other words, don't have any other blessings. Don't have any other thing. Just camp right here. But the Lord keeps challenging me. No, I'm gooder than that. I'm gooder than that. I'm more merciful. I mean, I'm more compassionate. I love you bigger than that. I love you more than that. I love you. And he just keeps pouring it on. And you're like, really? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Hallelujah. I mean, he's paid in cash good. He's the bank said you can't do it good. He's way out there good.
Hallelujah.
Brother Brian just entered into a Ford pickup truck, an F-150, because he got his mind renewed, you know. And he just entered into a truck he's been believing for a long time.
Yeah.
And he sent me a big email how good God is.
Yeah.
It really doesn't cost him much more than that, what was that? That was a wannabe truck, I think, you had. He called it the Gutless Wonder, the one that he had before. The one he had before, and now he got him a real pickup truck. Amen. And he's rejoicing in the goodness of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Sent me a testimony. He said, it's really not costing me, what, $50 more than the old Gutless Wonder. I mean, if you can get a real truck for $50 more, I mean, that's the goodness of God. Woo, glory. He's that kind of good. Praise God. Amen. But how do you position yourself to receive these things? You got to sit and hear it. And I mean just hear it, and just hear it, and hear it, and hear it, and hear it, till it finally sinks in. Till it's not just a mental assent. You know what I mean by mental assent? It's just not something you're mentally agreeing to, but your heart says, yeah, glory to God, I'll receive that. Thank God. Thank God, thank God. Tell your neighbor, we're receiving bigger and bigger all the time. Your heart has to be dilated. You know what I mean by that? To receive bigger and bigger capacities of God's benevolence. And you got to just, rather than, oh, I don't know, that's too good. You got to just say, yeah, and that's mine. Glory. Glory, glory, glory. Praise God. This is God's goodness. Tell your neighbor, he's gooder than you think. Amen. Now, you might not be able to position yourself. Let me say it this way. You might not be able to position others to always receive what God has for them. Let's put it this way. To receive God's best. See, there are degrees of his will. His perfect will is that we live full days, that live out our full days without any health, without any sickness or disease, full of divine health, not even with doctors. Now, he gave us doctors. I'm not opposed to them. God's not opposed to them. But that's his best. And but you can't always position somebody else to receive God's best. But let me say this about yourself. You need to know this about yourself. You can always... Poke your neighbor and say, always.
Always.
Poke your other neighbor and say, did you hear what he said? Always.
Always.
You can always position yourself.
Yes.
Always.
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 You can always position yourself to receive God's best. Now, there's been times that I knew, like I remember one time back, 1995 or before that maybe, where I started having a hernia issue. And I just kept going and kept, I didn't stop and feed my spirit about it or anything. It got worse and worse and worse. Finally, one day, the thing popped out and it started getting dangerous. And so I went to a doctor. I had to go to the doctor, really. I mean, it got dangerous. And so they said, well, we can cut it out. And I said, Lord, I'm a divine healing preacher. He said, have it cut out. He said, you've not been preparing yourself to receive this. See, I haven't been taking the time. Now, see, you say, well, you're in the Word all the time. Yeah, to preach. But that's different than feeding your own spirit. You that are called to the ministry, you need to know that. Totally different than feeding your own spirit. Totally different. I mean, getting a meal ready for somebody else, does that feed you? No, you gotta eat yourself. You gotta eat yourself. So, but anyway, so the Lord said, no, he said, you're not in position right now. Now, I knew what that meant. He didn't mean you're not worthy, you got sin in your life. He didn't mean that. He was talking about to lay hold with my faith. Lay hold with my faith. Now, how many of you know we shouldn't wait until we need faith to get it? So what we ought to do is all the time just be feeding on the mercies of God, the love of God, the compassion of God, His healing will, His nature, His kindness, His willingness to heal. Because faith doesn't come by hearing His ability. It comes by hearing His willingness. Because if I'm able to do something, but you doubt my disposition or my character or my love for you to do it, you don't have any confidence you're going to receive anything. Isn't that right? No, it doesn't take any faith to believe God can. But it takes something to believe He will. And believe He will for me, and He will for me right now. And therefore, see, that's not even good enough. Therefore, I take it. I receive it. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? So can you see the eagerness down there at old Cornelius' house? Can you see the eagerness of God? Just as soon as Peter had preached enough for the basis of them to have faith, they believed God. And down came the blessing. See, they positioned themselves. Can you see what I'm talking about? Amen. But anyway, let me finish what Jesus said to Brother Hagin. Remember I said about Brother Hagin and his wife? I started telling that story and I got off. Brother Hagin knew that in his heart. Never said anything to Miss Aretha. Miss Aretha knew in her heart, she never said anything to him, that if she had that goiter cut out, went to the doctor, she would die on the operating table. Well, Brother Hagin at that time knew that she wasn't in position to receive her healing. And, we're not here to accuse other people. We're here to help them. And sometimes you just got to meet them where they are. So he went to the Lord and he said, now, Lord, now this is a predicament. She's not in position to receive her healing. And that's not a condemnation, just a reality. You got to realize facts. And we know in our hearts, they finally talked about it then. We know in our hearts that she's going to die if she goes on the operating table. This thing's getting real bad. I mean, it's not only on the outside, it's on the inside in there choking off. Because she'd have these choking spells at nighttime. Couldn't breathe at times. I mean, it's starting to get serious. Something got to happen. How many of you know if you can go to a doctor and get it cut out, you can live another day? Praise God. God's not opposed to you going to a doctor. Get it. But see, they knew in this case she wasn't going to live through the operation. So he said, I'm in a predicament here. You know, I need my wife. He said to the Lord, he said, I just now got her trained. I love saying that. I just love saying that. See, she might say the same thing about me, but anyway. But I can't always do believing for somebody. How many of you know you can't always believe for somebody else? You can believe for your children, but they get to a certain age, they know enough themselves. You can't do it for them anymore. So, because God won't let you. So Brother Hagin said, Lord, I don't know what else to do, but just ask you. I'm asking you to spare her life on that operating table. We keep knowing that she's going to die. I'm asking you to spare her life on that operating table. And Brother Hagin said, the Lord spoke back to him and said, all right, I'm going to do what you asked me. Tell her to go have it operated on and that I'll spare her life and then she'll come through it, won't die on the operating table. And that's exactly what happened. She went and had it operated on. She came through. Of course, she lived till she outlived Brother Hagin, actually. But then the Lord said this to him. You got to hear this. See, this is in line with what we've been preaching here. The Lord said this. He said, I long to do so many things. He said, first of all, he said, I'm going to do it for you just because you asked me. And then he said, see, let's hear this with our hearts this morning. I long to do so many things for my children, but they don't ask me. See? See, isn't that compassion? That longing? That longing? He doesn't want so many things to be the way they are. He longs that they be different. But see, they have to position themselves. Isn't that good? I remember years ago, I've told this story, but the Lord brought it back to my remembrance. I was talking to a pastor. We finished preaching a series of meetings with a pastor in a town north of a town called Effingham, Illinois. And I believe it was Mattoon, Charleston or Mattoon. I don't remember which one. Uptown, kind of a twin town up above Illinois, a couple hours north. And you got to drive down. We had another meeting scheduled in Effingham, Illinois. And so we were driving from that meeting to Effingham for the next meeting. Well, the pastor in the city north up there, he said, do you want to have breakfast before we go? Before you go, I'll take you to breakfast. And I said, okay, we'll meet you for breakfast. So we made for breakfast. And afterwards, we took off. We started driving. And on the trip down to Effingham, I got, you've heard me say, supernaturally sick. That's the way I said it, because it wasn't just, you know, a little scratch and a day later it gets a little worse. This was within 10, well, 15 or 20 minutes. This was, boom, full-blown flu. I mean, and sneezing and snot running, and you know what I'm talking about. Trying to not to be the farm boy that I am, but I'm, and I kept thinking, well, when I get down there to Effingham, I'm going to get checked in, and we were in the house, we stayed in their house. And I'm going to just take authority over this. You know how we are. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. So I checked in, put the bags down, knelt down beside the bed, and I said, open to James chapter number 5. I said, Lord, your word says here, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. I said, so I'm just going to resist the devil and take authority over this. And take authority over this flu, these flu symptoms. He said, you're only quoting to me half the verse. Well, I knew what the rest of the verse meant, but I looked at it again. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee. See, I only quoted that second part. Resist the devil, and he'll flee. But the first part, submit yourself, therefore, to God. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. I said, because he said, you're only quoting to me half that verse. I said, because I thought, submit to God. I thought he was talking to me about, again, how that, because I had been unwilling to travel. And, but then I got willing. And I thought he's talking to me about that again, like I hadn't been willing. I said, no, Lord, I got willing. I'm arguing with the Lord. You know, because he's not always right, you know. I mean, that's the way pride talks. You ever had, you husbands ever talk to the Lord about your wife and he starts talking to you about the way you're treating her? Lord, I'm not talking, no, Lord, I'm not talking about, amen. And has he ever said, oh, I'm sorry, I thought you were her. I'm sorry, I was talking to, learn that. So I said, Lord, no, I got willing. He said, how many times have I spoken to you? See, he just interrupted me. You know, there's some things you're saying to the Lord that ain't worth a hill of beans, and ain't worth talking about. He doesn't even count it worthy of listening to. He just interrupted. I said, Lord, I got willing. He just interrupted me. He said, how many times have I spoken to you? He got right to the point. How many times have I spoken to you about sitting around the table criticizing other preachers with preachers? Oh, my God. I said, I ducked. I got down on the floor. I said, oh, my Lord, 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 oh, yes, you've talked to me about. He said, what did you just do at breakfast with that pastor up there? Yeah. Oh, my God, because we had chewed up Benny Hinn and spit him out. All right. Doesn't preach faith this way. And you know, a lot of people talk about others. They're just jealous.
Yeah, that's true.
It's almost 12. Keep praying. Amen. I said, Lord, forgive me. I got down on the floor. started weeping. I said, God, you've dealt with me about that. Forgive me. Forgive me. I repent. I'm sorry. I did it. I heard. I know what you're saying. I did it. I talked about Benny Hinn. I started repenting.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
How many of you know, number one, there are different ministries. Not everybody's a teacher. Amen. Not everybody's an apostle. Not everybody's a prophet. There are evangelists, and they're totally different. Amen.
Amen.
We need them all.
Yeah.
We need them all. Anyway, so I said, and I'm just down on the floor repenting. I got so caught up repenting and asking God to forgive me that I totally forgot about the flu. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And so I got done, finally wiped my tears and blew my nose and got up. I kind of started collecting myself a little bit. And then I remembered why I had come to prayer to begin with. Because I forgot all about what I had originally gone to prayer about. I said, oh, yeah, that's right. I need to rebuke this. And I was like, my God, it's all gone. It's all gone. Not a scratch, not a run. I mean, you wouldn't have known there for a minute, me crying and boo-hooing. I had to blow all that out. But I got all that blown out, and there's no more running.
Amen. Amen.
No more scratchiness.
Praise God.
No more sneezing, nothing. It's gone.
Gone.
I didn't even get to the asking. He's so eager for me to be healed.
Amen.
Can you see that? Can you see it? That hits you. That hits some of you. I didn't even get to the asking. I just removed the obstacle. You know that obstacle could be wrong thinking and wrong believing?
Yes.
That's why we got to sit, be present, and hear.
Yes.
We're believing all. We got to talk God into the notion. And actually, he's so longing. He so longs. Oh, my goodness. I preach myself happy. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I believe God's always hunting, ever hunting, for opportunities to gratify his big benevolent nature. I don't believe it takes long. It has taken me long to receive it. But as soon as I position myself, boom, there it comes. And I'm like, well, that was easy. Yeah, let me give you another story. Stand up with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many remember Hezekiah? God sent the prophet Isaiah into his chamber and said, I got a word from the Lord, set your house in order because you're going to die. Well, that could look like God saying, oh, nope, that I'm not my will to heal you. But remember, Isaiah's on the way out, and the Bible said that Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and made some adjustments. You read the whole thing, he got some things right that he had missed it on, things he was wrong about. And he said, God, Isaiah isn't even out of the courtyard yet. God saw and heard what Hezekiah prayed, and he spoke to Isaiah, said, go back, tell him I've seen his tears, I've heard his prayer, and I'm going to add 15 more years. See, you could hear what God said there at first, set your house in order, you're going to die. And you could hear that as if he doesn't long to heal Hezekiah. But that wasn't the case at all. Can you see that? It wasn't the case at all. Let's not side in against God. What do you say? Let's not say, well, God doesn't want to. No, he always wants to. Let's just find out what we got to do to put ourselves in position. And listen, I'm not always saying it's always sin. How about just wrong thinking about his longing to do this.
Yeah.
Where, oh God, we get in that chronic seeker thing.
Yeah. Come on.
Let's position ourselves.